Welcome to Look Up with Pastor Mike and his wife Linda Sasso of Calvary Chapel of Eagle, a radio ministry designed to assist you in applying God's Word to your everyday life. For the next hour, Pastor Mike and Linda will encourage you with your walk with Christ and help you look up to Jesus. If you need advice on marriage, life challenges, or relationships, call in now. It's time to look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's Mike and Linda.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Pastor Mike. Welcome to Look Up. I am once more in studio live with my wife, Linda, and we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do as we continue the series. And sometimes our series can be quite lengthy. I wonder if any of you are getting tired of this by now, because I remember the various series we've gone through, even when we were on a half-hour schedule with a half-hour program, and that's what the series really lasted long. But you know what? We're going on it an hour at a time, and it's still, these series are going on because we're talking about important topics, folks. We're not just picking trivial things or even, you know, like in the news, just what's happening, and we have to change it every day, which we did that one time, and that was interesting.
Whoa, yeah, firestorm.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, can we pause for a second here? I see Roxanne on, and right now her grandson is missing.
Oh.
And he's been missing for a couple of weeks. People have not heard from him. So I would like everyone that is listening to us, watching on Facebook, to be praying for that, okay? So Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask, Lord, that you bring Ethan home. Lord, we pray that you keep him safe wherever he is. And Lord, I pray you just put it on his heart to contact his mom and to let her know that he is okay. Lord, I pray you be with this young man. Touch him, keep him, bring him home safely quickly. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You know, that's one of the things that we do. I know Mike was talking about all this other stuff, but I seen Roxanne's name come up and it just hit me. We need to pray, and we need to get as many people praying out there as we possibly can. Okay, so since the camera's on me right now, those of you in radio land, you don't know that, but those of you out in Facebook land, you do. Let me tell you how to get in touch with us, okay? We are going to continue in our series on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We are to the remarriage part of it, so it might be a little better, but it might be the part that people have the hardest time dealing with, okay, because of the rules and just how the Lord puts it, you know. So to call us, be live on the radio with us, that number is 208-377-3790. Again, that is 208-377-3790. If you can't handle that thought of talking live on the radio, go ahead, send a text message to Calvary Chapel Eagle's phone, and that is 208-891-2635. Yesterday, the texts were blowing up. On Tuesday, the phone was blowing up. So you just don't ever know how people are going to want to get in touch, but we want to hear from you, okay? And if you're out there in Facebook Live land, we keep an eye on those comments. So if you have comments, questions, go ahead and you can put them in there too. So let's get started.
All right. And you said something interesting a moment ago, Linda, that the remarriage topic can be even more controversial. There actually is more variety of opinions on remarriage among the Christians than marriage. We all pretty much agree with, you know, the standard rules of marriage. We all pretty much stand, you know, for the most part, the majority of the church understands what the grounds for divorce are, what biblical grounds for divorce and unbiblical grounds for divorce.
They may not like them, it's pretty easy to find in the Bible.
And they may ignore them.
Yes.
But remarriage is the hot topic where there's a greater variety. There's some people, as if you were listening yesterday, there was some people wondering if a pastor could remarry if his wife died. Oh my goodness, for crying out loud. I mean, hello? Because he's a pastor, he's supposed to suffer and be alone the rest of his life, right?
Yeah, so, we said just take pastor out of there. Right. If somebody has their spouse die, Yeah, the Bible says they can get remarried. Being a pastor has nothing to do with it. And as we said yesterday, I would highly recommend it, okay? That can be a very tempting situation to be in when there's so many lonely women and they think, oh, the pastor is so perfect. He listens to everything I have to say. Well, they don't realize that that's part of his job. He doesn't always want to sit and listen to possibly whiny women all day long. And that's actually why, you know, very few times does Mike do counseling with women anymore.
Not without they, you by my
they,
side.
Yeah, we either do it together or they come over to me because it just can be one of those things that attachments can really be start to connect there, okay? That they will start reaching out thinking this guy is perfect, start getting a crush and everything. And do you want, okay, here is my $10 tip for the day. Do you want to know, any of you that are in ministry, do any kind of counseling, when someone of the opposite sex starts talking to you about sex, run. That should be the end of the appointment. End it right there and put them in with someone of their same sex, okay? That is an extreme danger sign when someone is willing to bring that conversation up with someone of the opposite sex. It means they are vulnerable in all kinds of ways. So, there. That's my little tip for the day. Somebody needed to hear that one.
Well, I tell you something. I've got some real regrets from when I was a young pastor and I do marriage counseling. There were times couples wanted to talk about their sexual relationship. And thinking back, I blush at the conversations I got myself in and the advice I tried to give and thinking I should not have even touched that. I should have just, you know, it's like I thought I was a sex therapist and a biblical counselor, and there's so much that I probably should have just...
You mean sex therapist doesn't come along with the title pastor?
Yeah, when you get a theological degree, you're now a sex therapist. You know, terrible. It was awkward. So there are things, and you know what? Even as recent as 5, 10, 15 years ago, it's like here I am in my 60s, and folks, I'm telling you, there's things I'm thinking I did 5 years ago or 10 years ago that I would never do now because I realize you crossed the line. Don't say that. Don't do that. I mean, it takes a while. You know, I'm a slow learner. Okay, I say it takes a while. Let's say for me, I'm a slow learner. And there's a lot of things I did. I just took liberties and said things that I should not have said or done because I'm just, you know, I wear it on my sleeve. What I think I say, you know. Anyway, hopefully most of you are not like that. Anyway, we are getting back to the topic of, now we're on the topic of remarriage. And yesterday we touched on when you are biblically free to remarry. And what I mean by that is when does the Bible say, even though you're divorced or even though you're no longer married, you could be widow or widower, is it okay to remarry? And of course, the no-brainer was if your husband or wife died, the scriptures are very clear that you are free to remarry. That's in Romans chapter 7, the first three verses, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, makes very clear that if you are a widow or a widower, you have the freedom to remarry. But I think along with that, the Apostle Paul gives wisdom or his own wisdom and advice that he says, I think it's better to remain single. Matter of fact, I can't think of the address right now, but there's a portion of scripture that talks about young widows, the women, that if they're young widows, it's probably better for them to remarry. Because
they'll become gossips.
Yeah, instead of sitting around and being gossips and hanging around, you know, you need to, you know, be married. Now, you've got to figure that out between the Lord. If you're a young widow, old widow, if you're a single person for the rest of your life now because you're divorced, you've got to study the scriptures and understand that. And we've been attempting to help you understand your place as we've gone through these. We've been combing through the scriptures, looking at these situations. Now, what we did touch on yesterday, and I want to reiterate before we move forward, is that when you are free to remarry, the scriptures also make clear owning in the Lord.
Yes.
Owning, remarry in the Lord. As a matter of fact, one key verse that we like to point out is 2 Corinthians 6:14 that says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness?" And it just goes on to talk in detail about that. But the thing is, if you're a child of God, and maybe you're a lonely child of God, you don't meet that loneliness with somebody who's not a child of God. If you are children of the light, then find others who are walking in the light. If your goal in life, if your heart is to serve the Lord, the last thing you need is a weight around your neck by being married to somebody who has no interest in the things of God, has no desire to walk with the Lord or have family time centered around the Lord or talk about the Lord in the house. Believe me, it causes all kinds of problems if you marry somebody who's not a believer, and I'm not even scratching the surface of it.
Hey, Mike, this sounds like a good call-in topic. If you've made that mistake, and you married somebody, and you've been unequally yoked, why don't you call? Give us a brief summary of your story.
You want to warn the other listeners. You
know? Yeah, so that maybe you can help someone else not go through that pain that you're going through being unequally yoked. So if you've got a story you're willing to share with us, go ahead, give us a call, 208-377-3790. Again, that's 208-377-3790. We don't want to be the only ones that are speaking the truth. And we can't talk about this because we married as believers. We've been believers the whole time we've known each other. Did we do everything right? No, but we were always believers, okay? And we always wanted to put the Lord first. That's why we were able to fix our problems, you know, get out of it, because we did what we did as unto the Lord once we finally grew up a little bit and learned what that meant. Mm-hmm. But if you've got a story you're willing to share with us, go ahead, give us a call, because your story might be the thing that stops somebody else from making that same mistake.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me just say something to avoid, gossiping about your husband or wife. We're not asking for you to call in and complain about your spouse.
No.
What we really need to know is, what are the complications that people don't usually think about? What are the problems that you face or the hurdles that you have to get over that you face because you married an unbeliever? And there are those out there who are right now listening to the show who are dating an unbeliever or maybe even engaged to an unbeliever. What would you say to them? What would be your warning from your experience of marrying an unbeliever? So anyway,
very
I'm going
to
leave that there. And if you don't want to call in, you don't have to, but I'm going to give you the number once more. And we'd love to hear from some of you on this, because this is something people just read about in the Bible and they go, yeah, I know the Bible says this, but ... We're different.
I'll convince him. Yeah. He'll get saved.
I will lead him to Jesus. Yeah, right. Okay. So anyway, the number here is area code 208-377-3790. I don't want to give out the wrong number. I did that a couple days ago. It's area code 208-377-3790. And specifically, I'd like to hear, what are the problems that you face if you marry someone who's an unbeliever? What are some of the things people don't think about that maybe you need to give a heads up to our listeners who may be thinking about marrying or dating somebody who's not of the faith? Okay. All right. And if we don't hear from you, we're just going to keep going here. We're going to talk next about the legality of remarriage. Okay. And as I told you before, I'm reading from a paper I wrote, probably 10 years ago, and updating and refining it as we move along here. It's a paper written, quite often you'll hear me say, we believe and we take the stand and we. The reason for that is it was when I was on staff at Calvary Chapel Boise. Me and Jeff Brown, who's over the Grace for Divorce Ministry, worked on this paper together. I had all the scriptures put together, and then he's an author, so he helped me word things in such a way that it could actually eventually be put on pamphlet form. And we never did. We never put it out in a pamphlet form. And maybe we will from Calvary Chapel Eagle. Maybe we'll make a pamphlet out of it. So let me continue reading here now. Now that we've covered the biblical legality of remarriage, when we're looking at our freedom to remarry another person after the failure of our marriage, we must keep in mind the sinful nature of all human beings. And there's several verses we put there. The first one on the list I think you should keep in mind is Matthew 19:8, that says, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. You got to realize the only reason you found yourself in a divorce is because of hardness of heart, either yours or your spouse's or both of you. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. I don't think there's a very rare situation when there's two totally innocent people and nobody's at fault at all. Okay, let's see what other verses we have in here. Mark 10, yep, same thing. Romans 3:9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. It is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They've all together become unprofitable. You know the text, right? This is Romans chapter 3. And the point is, you got to realize, no matter if you've been married, if you're divorced, or if you're planning on remarrying, you're going to remarry a sinner, even if they're a child of God, born again. Now, if you know me, I make a big deal about this at church when I preach from the pulpit, is that your new identity in Christ is that you're a saint. Your new identity is not a sinner, because you don't want to think like that anymore. You don't want to act like that. You don't want to talk like a sinner. You want to think of yourself as a saint and live like that. So I get that. But you got to realize that there are flaws that are going to come out when you get married to somebody. And whether this person seemed like the best person in the world or whether you see some of their flaws, believe me, you don't see all of their flaws. And so the point here is, when you're considering remarrying, realize you didn't find the perfect person the first time you got married, and you're not going to find the perfect person the next time you get married. Okay, now let me continue reading. Rarely is there a divorce, and here's what I was saying, where there is a completely guiltless party. Your former marriage might be in the history books, and you might be biblically free to remarry, but remarriage is not always the most advisable or best route for you to take in your life. Now I'm going to stop there. There's more, but consider that. The norm for your life doesn't have to be marriage. If you are now divorced, I would recommend to anybody who's gone through a divorce, or especially if you're freshly divorced, wait. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. I think it's Psalm 27:14. Wait in the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The scriptures always, repeatedly encourage believers to wait on the Lord. Making a rash decision is always dangerous. You know, you've heard of the old saying, the rebound. Yeah. You know, in the dating days, you lost your girlfriend, and so now you're on the rebound and you find somebody else. That happens a lot in marriage. And then somebody gets a divorce and they quickly remarry and they quickly find themselves in a spot where they realize, I should have waited. I didn't do my homework on this, you know? And so, my goodness, I don't know how many of you guys have ever really done your homework when you're buying a car or a house or moving to another neighborhood. Linda and I really take this seriously. We want to hear from the Lord. And every time, you know, we do a little homework, you know? How much more homework should you do when you're going to make that lifelong commitment of marriage, all right? So,
you know, one thing that I think when you're talking about take time, you know, you need to take time to determine what you did wrong the first time. Mm-hmm. What was the problem? So you don't make the same mistake again. But I think if you find yourself in that divorce, especially if you're the victim, look for what could have been your part in it, okay? What could have you done differently that maybe could have saved or not saved, you know, the marriage? You got to fix yourself. So many people have a problem marriage, get a divorce, rush into another marriage, and they're taking the problem with them.
Right.
The problem is them.
Yeah.
And they're taking it into the next marriage. And I've had one person tell me, I don't know why, I just can't pick the right people. It could be one of those flaws that you have, that you take a victim mentality, so you let yourself become a victim, you know. But it could be you cause the worst to come out in this person. And I know none of us want to look at that, especially if we're the victim. We don't want to look at, what do you mean? It may have been my fault somehow. It's wise to look at it.
Or at least maybe you play a part. It may not have all been your fault.
Oh, no, no, no.
But what part was your fault?
If you're the victim, very likely you have the smaller percentage. But there might be something there that you can learn from, that the Lord can use to grow you so that the same thing doesn't happen over again. We see it. People marry, divorce, remarry, same problems, divorce, remarry, same problems, divorce, and it keeps going. We want to spare you that. And if you take the time to honestly bring your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, show me, what can I change in me that I won't repeat the same mistake? And even if it's the kind of person you look for, the kind of person you're attracted to.
That's true.
Some people that have been abused can be attracted to abusers. I know that sounds really, really weird, but it's what they're used to. And that is a shame. So you need to break that cycle.
That's right.
So that you don't make a bad choice again. Yes, you may have made a really bad choice the first time. Let's not make a really bad choice the second time. Okay?
Right. And something I always want to advise couples, if you're in the hot spot right now and you're dealing with a rough marriage and it looks like it might be divorce in the future, I always like to encourage you and anyone facing this situation to live in such a way that you have no regrets.
Yes.
That you will not look at it and go, well, you know, once I saw it was starting to take a nosedive, I just bailed. Or, you know, it's like, for me, I look at it like a sinking ship. As the captain of the ship, I'm going to be the last one to abandon ship. I may go down with the ship, and I'm certainly going to do everything I can, even though the ship is sinking, to try to stop it from sinking and to get everything in order. And so I think that's the way we should, again, the other analogy I always use is amputation.
Yeah.
You know, you want to save your body rather than cut parts off that hurt you, okay? So in the same way, when your marriage is in trouble, you want to do everything you can that you would try to save the marriage, even though you've been offended. Look, if you're looking closer and closer at a divorce and your spouse is talking divorce and you're playing with the idea, it's really easy just to throw in the towel and say, you know, I'm not even trying anymore. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
And you may end up with regrets later and look back and go, you know what? I quit when I shouldn't have. Like I told you before, a good friend of mine recently told me that if he would have done if he would have not done this or not done that, he could have saved his marriage. But he acted in such a way that he shouldn't have.
He sabotaged.
Yeah. People what you see is bad, and going from bad to worse. It's really easy to just totally sabotage it. I'm telling you. Let me go back to what I was saying that got this whole rant going. Live in such a way that you will have no regrets, so that even if there is a divorce, you can look back and say, I did everything that I humanly thought possible. I really humbled myself. I ate crow. I did whatever I could to try to make that marriage work, but my spouse just didn't want it to work. Okay. So if you think you're facing a divorce, fight it. Do the best you can so that when it's all over with, even though the ship sinks, you could say, no regrets. I did everything I possibly could.
You know, one of the stupidest things that we hear is, well, he had an affair, so I went and had an affair. That never turns out good. They always regret that, being a rash decision. Well, he did it to me or she did it to me, so I did it back. That's not what you want to end a relationship with, because it's bad enough that you're in the situation. If somebody's done something horrible to you, had an affair, abuse, whatever, you know, it may be out there that would be causing your divorce right now. You don't want to make it worse by doing the same thing. What that will do is separate you from your God. The person that had the affair has already damaged the relationship with the Lord. They've already drifted away. You don't want to do the same thing and then find yourself away from the only hope you really have, which is Jesus Christ. So don't fall for that one. I know it's the first reaction. Well, they did this to me, so I'm going to do that to them. You know, please don't. As Mike said, if this is going to end, let it end with no regrets. And you know what? That's how we live our lives. We want our lives, when it ends, to end with no regrets.
Right.
We don't want to regret anything we've done and have to carry it to our grave. We want to be able to have that clear conscience before the Lord every night.
All right. Now listen, this next paragraph I'm looking at is a good recap of what we've been saying.
Good.
It says, we believe that during and after a divorce, each spouse should search his or her heart before God in the light of genuine biblical truth to discover what the Holy Spirit might have to say to them personally regarding the finalization of a divorce and or the pursuit of a new relationship. And that's why we put this document together, by the way. You might want to email us if you want a copy of it. We're updating it, refining it. I'll be glad to send you a copy of this document. It covers a lot of ground if you've been listening the last couple of weeks. But I think you really need to hear from the Lord. Don't just listen to your flesh. Don't just listen to the pain in your heart saying, I'm lonely. I want a man. I want a woman. You know, people make big mistakes like that. Just because you're trying to fill that emptiness inside. One of the things I've noticed, by the way, is when I see a happy single person, I know that they would make the best spouse because they're already complete and happy. They're not lonely. They're not empty. They're not saying, I'm incomplete. I need a husband or I need a wife. When you find a well-adjusted, happy single person, that's the best candidate for a successful marriage. And so when you find two people who lived as a single person for enough time that they realize, I could live on my own. Yeah. I don't need to have a spouse. I'm okay. I'm not incomplete unless I have a spouse. I'm okay. Me and the Lord are doing just fine. You find two people like that and get them together, they're going to have a great marriage. Because it's not like they're looking for the other person to make them happy. And that is a
big... Or to fulfill them.
Yeah, that's a big trap that people have, is when you think, if I only had a wife, if I only had a husband, then I would be happy.
Yeah.
Folks, if you're not happy, happy right now, you need to get your life right with the Lord, and you need to realize where happiness comes from.
That happiness would only last for a very short time.
Yeah.
Okay, give it a couple months.
It's called a honeymoon.
Yeah, it's the honeymoon period that people talk about. It's all new, and everybody's on their best behavior still. And, you know, if you've been single, and you all of a sudden can legitimately become sexually active, hey, this is adding euphoria to a relationship. But reality settles in. And if you are marrying someone because you're a needy person, then that need is going to just take over. And it's going to ruin or undermine the relationship, the good relationship that you could or would have. So, yeah, we know friends. One of our dear friends back in California,
right.
Single girl.
I was actually thinking
she
of
was
her.
So happy just to stay single because she had high expectations for a man that she was going to marry, and nobody was ever good enough for her. And I am so glad she waited, because the guy the Lord finally put her with is just such a sweetheart. We love them both. One of these days, we're going to hopefully get them to move out here. I would love that so much.
I was thinking exactly of her as an example.
I know you were.
Because when you know somebody who's miserable and single, they're going to be miserable and married.
And married. Yeah. But she was very content, and so was he. And you know what? They just get along wonderfully. Cute as could be, you know, older. Well, not older. How old is she? I don't know. She's younger than us. Let's put it that way. But she waited a long time to get married. And I am so proud of her, because I really wondered if anybody would have ever met up to her standards, because she set them so high. Oh, please. Set your standards high. Well, you know what? You hear that music, so do I. That means we're going to have to take a 1 minute station break right now. So we're going to be back in just a minute. Hang in there with us, okay?
You're listening to 94.1 The Voice, KBXL, Caldwell, Boise, radio you can believe in. Stay tuned. Mike and Linda will be right back. Look Up was recently extended to a full hour from 2:30 to 3:30 every Monday through Friday. Mike and Linda want to help you apply God's Word to your everyday life. Through Facebook Live, text, and phone, you can ask questions about what the Bible has to say about the real things that are going on in your life. To access the Facebook Live feed, be sure to send a friend request to Linda Bennett Sasso. If you would like to text the Sassos, the number is 208-891-2635. The best way to have your question answered is to call the Sassos in the studio right now. That number is 208-377-3790. To learn more about Calvary Chapel Eagle, visit calvarychapeleagle.com. Now here's Mike and Linda.
I love that song. You know, that, and you know what? It used to be that at one point we actually would make a list of songs we wanted to play because we thought they're really appropriate to minister to people on various topics. But since we went to Facebook Live, or Facebook streaming, live streaming, Facebook has this program that recognizes certain songs, and they realize they don't have the copyright to be playing other people's music, so they'll ban you. They'll cut you off, or they'll actually say you are now banned from Facebook for the next week or so, and it would be terrible. So we stopped playing music, and even if you've noticed, I don't even play the entire intro to our show because I'm afraid if I play too much of that song, that will be banned from Facebook, and I can't afford that right now. But listen, anyway, that's Nicole Nordman, and I think the song is Look Up. Isn't it Look Up, or is it
Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
She took Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus and redid it, and then a good part of the song just kept singing, Look Up, Look Up. And when I heard that, when we were looking for a theme song for our radio program.
And a title.
A title
for the program.
Yeah, I just thought that's perfect. Let's call our radio program Look Up, and we'll use that song. It was perfect. I mean, come on. How many Christians are not aware of that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? How many of you that has not held a special part in your heart, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Powerful
if
song.
If they were not saved in the 80s, if they were saved after that, like in this century, then they may not know that song. Okay, there. I feel like I'm falling off the bottom of the page, thing, so we can turn it back on you.
Oh, okay. See, we're playing, for those of you in radio, we're playing with the phone and Facebook live streaming. Okay, let me continue reading in this paper as we're looking at the topic of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Marriage is sacred in God's eyes, and God takes your marriage vows very, very seriously. And our hope is that you will take your vows very seriously as well. It's interesting. I've done a lot of weddings. I think I've probably done 140, 150 weddings.
And, wow.
I'll have to look at my book and make sure. Maybe it's only 112, but I know it's up there, at least 120. But the thing is that no couple walks down the aisle thinking, well, let's just see how long this lasts. They all are entering into this relationship just thinking, all googly-eyed and starry-eyed and goosebumps and, oh, I love you. I love you too. I love you more. It's one of those kind of things.
And that's called infatuation.
Well, the thing is, when reality hits, you're going to be tested if you're willing to have that stick-to-itness to make a marriage last. And so because it's not easy. It's work. It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes saying no to sin, yes to God's will, no to your will. I mean, there's a lot involved in it, and anybody married will tell you that, okay? Yeah. Anybody who's been married more than a year or two could tell you that. And so when it says here that, God takes your marriage vows seriously, and we hope you do too, everybody takes those vows seriously on the wedding day.
Yes.
But it just seems, and we've done enough marriage counseling over the years, that people just kind of forget that they made a vow, or they think little of that vow. That was a vow between God and you know, before God and the witnesses. And you do that on purpose. You have public weddings for a purpose, so that your friends and relatives will hold you accountable to be faithful and true to one another. And let me just tell you this. This is just coming off the top of my head here. If you attended somebody's wedding and you heard them do wedding vows and it was beautiful, but now they're wrestling with divorce, or they're considering breaking up, or they're having problems, you go reach out to them. You do what you can to help them, because
remind them
their vows. You know, that's why you have witnesses at a wedding, not just so we could have a beautiful event and we could all eat cake. You know, the purpose of a public wedding is so that this couple could pledge their love, first of all, before God and others, and secondly, so they could be held accountable by you who are attending that wedding. And I feel, especially as a pastor, when I've done a wedding, I always tell people, I give you a lifetime guarantee when I do weddings, because if I do a wedding and they have a problem, you better call me, because I am making a commitment, just like you're making a commitment to one another. I'm making a commitment to being there for you as the wedding doctor kind of guy, you know, that when there's a problem, I will help you. I want to help you through it. I want to see your marriage make it. I don't want to just tie the knot and hope it doesn't come undone. Bye-bye, good luck, have fun. And so I just think every pastor also should have that kind of attitude. And by the way, that doesn't mean that every wedding I've ever performed ended up being permanent. With all the best intentions of the couple and even the pastor, there have been some weddings that have ended in divorce, and it breaks my heart. I'm not telling you that, oh, well, that's just the way it is. You win some, you lose some. I think it breaks my heart because it breaks God's heart. And, you know, the Lord never just goes, oh, well, you know, we tried, didn't we? Okay, go find somebody else. So anyway, we're talking about marriage. It's a sacred vow. You're making that that vow before God, and He's holding you accountable to it.
And you know what? I love the part that you just said about that. If we've witnessed a wedding, we weren't just there to fill a seat so it looked like a lot of people were their friends. Technically, you are a witness to hold them accountable. I was just thinking the same thing when you started saying that. Somebody out there needs to hear this, because somebody right now has a friend that is not keeping their wedding vows the way that they should. And you need to go remind them that they said this before God. And they said it before you. They made a promise before you that this is what they were going to do. And you know what? I am encouraging you, be brave enough to go say something to them.
Yeah, I mean, you say, even if you're a guy, you go up to your friend and say, hey, bro, you made promise. Keep your word, man. I mean, it could be as simple as that.
And with a girl, you'd say it quite different. Honey, you can't do this.
Well, I'm just saying, man to man, okay? And the thing is, though, there's three things to remember. One is, you made a promise to your spouse.
Yes.
Don't break that promise. And then you made a promise before man, before all the witnesses, and they're going to hold you accountable. And then, of course, you made a promise before God. You know, it says, I pledge before God and these witnesses. And that's pretty much how the vows go. So we'll continue reading now, and we're still covering the topic of remarriage, but you can't talk about remarriage without talking about marriage. Okay, so here we are. If you are free to remarry and you choose to reconsider, or you choose to consider remarriage, we hope that you take the time you need to recover from your divorce.
Amen and
now,
amen.
Now, this is something Linda and I will admit we don't know a whole lot about, because we haven't personally gone through divorce. Let's say we haven't.
But we've seen so many.
But we don't know about it from experience, okay? The reason why, where I was going with that, is there are people who that's their ministry. As a matter of fact, we had Jeff Brown in here last week or the week before. I lose track of time here. And he has Grace for Divorce Ministry. And they currently meet over at Calvary Chapel, Boise. But you could go to their website if you want help in recovering from your divorce. And that's specifically what they're helping people with, is you could go to the website, gracefordivorce.com. No spaces, no caps, just Grace
NoForeDivorce.com. And hopefully you could find some help because you know what? It's kind of like recovering from a broken leg. Worse than that. I mean, you've been in a coma, whatever. But I mean, any major medical problem that any of us have ever had, it takes time to recover. It takes time to get back. For crying out loud, I've had the flu a couple times where it was so bad, I couldn't work out for a week or two. It's like, I love doing some kind of exercise, whether it's my mountain biking or in the early days I used to surf. And there's times you're just coming back and you just got no strength left. Yeah. And so in the same way, divorce does that to you spiritually. Divorce does that to you emotionally. And it could even affect you physically.
Yes.
Where you've been through a divorce and you are just whooped. You just got nothing left to give. You just feel like your life is over. You lost, loser. You know what I mean? Maybe you felt that or you're feeling it right now. Go to gracefordivorce.com. Contact Jeff Brown. Maybe you could get going to some of their meetings because his ministry is specifically helping people to recover from the wounds and the hurt of the damage that a divorce does in someone's life.
And let me tell you, some of you out there, you may have done everything right and still ended in divorce.
Right.
And you don't kick yourself over it, okay? We you know, earlier I said, look for what you could have changed, what could be different. Maybe in that part, it's examining better who you choose to marry. And I see that's the next one we're going to be talking about here. But sometimes you didn't do anything wrong. You really did do what was right. And the spouse you chose decided to walk away from the Lord and totally mess up. And you are a victim in that. It's going to take time to recover, whether you did anything wrong or not, right? It's going to take time to recover from that. It really hits you and knocks you off spiritually. And that's the problem with the rebound, because you're already wounded. You just go find somebody else. Well, I'm already sad and I'm depressed. And for me, mine is comfort food, okay? That's what I run to. If it's a bad day, I want my comfort food, okay?
So I'll take her to Freddy's.
Yeah, chocolate, okay? I know what my weakness is when I'm feeling down. Well, some people, it's they got to go run and find someone to hug them and hold them. And that's a dangerous place to be, because then you can end up being a victim again. So take the time it's going to take for you to recover.
And you said something interesting, Linda, that I think we shouldn't ignore, is that, you know, you could feel it, maybe it wasn't your fault and you feel like you failed, even though it really wasn't your fault. Typically, in a divorce, there's a lot of hard feelings and bitterness, and blame gets thrown around a lot. And so typically, even if you're the innocent party, you know, which we've already talked about, nobody's completely innocent. People, you know, we've all got some kind of weight to carry, maybe something we could have done better, something we should have done that we did, you know what I mean?
Like not pick the jerk in the first place. That would have been a good one. And if that's what you learn, don't do it a second time.
Okay, but you know, I mean, I'm just saying, there's rarely a totally innocent person, but beware of the blame game, because usually the guilty party loves to put blame on the party of the person that he's leaving. Let's just say a guy finds another gal and he's having an affair. He's going to blame his wife that she just doesn't do it for him anymore and she just didn't meet his needs, and make her feel like nothing, make her feel worthless. And so that's another reason why you need a ministry to come alongside you, like Grace for Divorce, that you can just kind of share war stories with others and encourage one another, because it's a dangerous thing. It's a tough situation when you've gone through a divorce. Now, let me keep reading here. We hope you will become a solid, mature believer, and we hope you will choose a solid, mature believer as your new marriage partner. And here's how I would summarize that statement up. Always put God first. My goodness, you can't go wrong if God is the first, if God is the one in your life who you're seeking to please and seeking to follow. And like I've told you before, even when I was a high school pastor, I used to tell the kids this, but I'll tell any age group this, that you start serving the Lord with your life, and then look around and see who's serving the Lord with you. Who's walking alongside of you serving the Lord in the same way you're serving the Lord? That's the best way to pick a husband or a wife. That's the wisest decision to make is serve God with your life and look around and see who's serving God with you. And that's probably where you should pick your spouse from. Okay. Yeah. All right. So continue reading. We hope you and your new partner will allow yourselves to bond properly and in a vigilant, sexually pure courtship. And we hope you will consider a new marriage choice very, very carefully.
Now, I'm very, very, carefully. Very, very, very yeah. carefully.
Now, I'm breaking these paragraphs down real slow because I think there's a lot of commentary we could add to this. Because this first statement is that if you have a new partner, maybe you've gone through divorce, and now you're seeing someone, our advice to you is to find someone, first of all, who loves the Lord and wants to follow after the Lord, but also the part of that should be sexual purity.
Yes.
See, here's the thing. If you've been married for any length of time, then you're used to a sexual relationship, right? And so you now start having feelings for somebody and you're dating, and it should be quite easy. It would be. I don't know if I should say should. It would be quite easy just to go back to what you know is that you like someone, you have feelings towards them, you express it sexually. And if you've been married before, it's even easier than ever to just fall right back into sexual sin in a yes. dating situation. And I really personally think that that can totally cloud everything up. You think you might like this person. You think this person might be the right person to marry. You think this might be the one. But then once you start adding the sexual chemistry to that relationship, it clouds the water and you really can't see this person like you would have if your relationship was platonic and you just kept pure sexually and you just kept it on the Lord, kept it on friendship. If you kept the relationship in proper perspective, you could see trouble coming. But once sex yeah. enters into a relationship, I really believe that sex is like the oil that keeps the machine going. It's kind of a lubrication that keeps the machine going. And when you're married, that's good. You want a sexual relationship. It makes things go smoother. It helps a relationship. But when you're single and you add sex to the relationship, it covers up things you need to see so you don't make the mistake of marrying this person.
Basically, if you haven't bought it, don't open it up and eat it. It's not yours yet, okay? We need to, doesn't that get to you when you're in the market and you see somebody walking around eating something? And don't you think, are they going to pay for that or not? Or is that just going to be stealing something? I don't care if you're that hungry, unless it's samples that the store has put forth, you don't open your food and eat it, you know? And it's like, you've got to
pay. You can tell one of your pet peeves.
The dues first. If women, if you give yourself to these men before they've made the commitment to marry you, why should they marry you?
That's true.
You've already given them everything. There has to be a pot of gold waiting at the end of the rainbow, okay? And they got to cross the whole rainbow to get to that pot of gold. Women, think more highly of yourself than that, okay? It is. That's one of my really big pet peeves. And that's why we talk about take enough time. Take enough time before you would even consider a dating situation, because if you're still hurting and you're still vulnerable, just like me with my comfort food, come on, Cracker Barrel, that's one of my comfort foods. Oh, Black Bear's a new one that gives a lot of good comfort foods. I will run to that when I'm hurting. If your comfort food is affection and touch, and I've heard a lot of people tell me that, that is their comfort. They need to be touched or they don't feel like a woman. Oh, you're going to make yourself so vulnerable if you don't 100% heal from this before you even consider any kind of relationship. That's where, honey, you hang on to your girlfriends. That's where, man, you hang on with your guy friends. You go to men's Bible studies with them. You do men's retreats. You go to men's breakfasts. You sit with the men in church until you are strong enough. And you know what I want to say too, spiritually? till the Lord gives you a green light. I don't think we should force our way into a new relationship. I think we need to wait, and the Lord will speak to our spirit.
Right.
You're ready now.
Right.
You know, and, you know, same thing. Girls, go to women's studies, do the women's things, sit with the women. Don't put yourself in a place of temptation, because you just don't know how strong you're going to be when you're feeling that vulnerability, and things can happen and you say, oh no, I never meant to go here. But once you go there, you can't take it back.
That's right.
You can't
right.
take it back. So
yeah, you
keep
cross,
it, honey. It's yours.
Yeah, you cross a line. That yes. Once you cross that line, it changes everything.
Everything.
And by the way, it reminds me, one of the video series we like to take married couples through is Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And Mark Gunger, who teaches that series, actually deals with this quite a bit in the series about women don't give up everything. Till the, you know, I think he puts it, you know, you don't get the thing till you get the ring, you know, something like that. But he actually has a really good explanation, a lot better than that. So you could actually even catch a lot of that on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and look up Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Gunger deals with this, and I think he deals with this in a sensible way. He talks about pornography. He talks about giving yourself up before marriage, and he does it in a real practical way, not just quoting scriptures and Bible thumping you, but he actually gives you some very rational thought, and he covers a lot of psychological things when he deals with this Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. Anyway, another plug for that. We've talked about that a lot. So again, let me read that paragraph that got this all going, and I'll keep going. We hope you and your new partner will allow yourselves to bond properly in a vigilant, sexually pure courtship. We're talking about if you're dating after a divorce. We hope you will consider your new marriage choice very, very carefully. So you want to be careful. The statistics are that someone who's already had a divorce is the divorce rate after the first divorce goes up real high. It's real easy to divorce for a second time. And the same thing goes to once you've been divorced twice or three times. And you'll find that you may even know some people have been married four or five or more times. Because once you've gone through this divorce cycle, it's real easy just to say, it's just easy to start over again, over again.
Okay, we got a good question here. I do have an answer, but I'm going to let you answer this one. What if you start to date and then reconcile with your ex-spouse? Do you wait until remarrying them before intimacy? Yes. You don't give him, just because you were used to having a sexual relationship with him, legally divorce papers say you are now both single. You are not married. And sometimes spouses come back around because they kind of miss it.
They think
they can get a freebie from you.
Right.
So no, if there's any way of reconciling, getting back together, you do it right.
Right.
Maybe you did it wrong the first time, and maybe this stand for the Lord, doing it right, waiting until you're married, then maybe you're going to have a better chance of this marriage working the second time.
And I really believe that if, and I know people in this situation like this, if you are divorced and now maybe you're considering it back to your husband or wife, don't make it easy on them. Don't make them think that, we could just go back to our old sex life. You need to show him what he gave up. Let's just say it's usually the guy talking to a woman about a guy who divorced her. Okay, so I'm just going to take it for granted. I could be wrong, but that this question came from a woman. And I think you need to show your husband or your ex-husband what he gave up. You're not getting back unless you really want me back. Do you want the commitment of marriage back with me? Then you get the whole package. But you can't just, even though we used to have
a sexual relationship. We were married and it was legal and it was all sanctified before God. Don't think you could go back there without the marriage, without the ring. And so I think that's an important question. I think there's a lot of people out there dealing with this because you used to have a sexual relationship with this person and it was okay before God because you were married to them. And so it's really easy to go back to having a sexual relationship with somebody, even though now you're divorced. It's really easy just to have one night stands now and then or whatever, because that's just, you guys are used to that together. But I think you need to show your husband, your ex-husband, no, you gave this up. You don't want to be my husband and you gave this up. And if you want the package back, it's an entire package. You get the whole package or nothing at all. Okay. So anyway, hopefully that answers the question. And also that's a biblical concept, is that if you're not married to the person any longer, he doesn't have the right to your body. You got something, hon?
Well, yeah. Officially, by the divorce papers, you are deemed a single person. And your ex-spouse is no longer your closest relative anymore, okay? So in my case with my daughter, when she died, I was the closest relative, and that's why the coroner came to our house instead of to her ex-husband's house, even though they were dating and trying to get back together, because legally, I was the closest of kin. So we need to respect the laws of the land too, but those are the laws that God has. And make that commitment. And you know what? A second time, if you're going to get remarried, I don't think it has to be some big fancy hoopla wedding.
Right.
You can make it a private ceremony. If you know for sure and you both are seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, you know this is what you want to do. This is what the Lord has told you to do. You know it's time and ready. You can even have a private little ceremony. There's no need to drag out, you know, this 2-year engagement thing or anything with that. Unless you are not sure. If you are not sure that he is really sincere or she is really sincere, then you drag it out for 2 years and see if they still want you if for 2 years they're not getting sex, okay? So, you know, this gets a little complicated, but thank you for that question because it's an absolutely valid question that I have heard too many people do that. And I've seen wives be the victim of a husband come back, kind of dangling, maybe we'll get back together, and she hops in the sack with him, and then he's gone again. He just came for his freebie.
It's manipulation.
It's manipulation, so be careful of that, okay? Yeah. You know, so I think our time is almost up. Yeah. Any last words for
you today? No, see, that's a real mind game, and my heart goes out to anybody in that position, because if you were... That's the music right there.
I told
you. I think we answered the question, and hopefully this will be a good place to end. We'll pick up here next week. Today is Friday, folks. If you haven't been to church in a while, it's time to get back to church.
Hey, and Monday, what? We're going to show the, going to air the program on the radio where we dealt with is pornography, adultery. It was a pretty active show, so okay. Monday, tune in for that.
Okay, so... Folks, go to church this weekend. Lord bless. God, and we'll see you tomorrow.
If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel of Eagle, just go to the website at cceagle.org. Be sure and join Pastor Mike every Saturday at 8 p.m. and on Sundays at 8 a.m. for his radio show, It's All About Jesus. If we ran out of time and you didn't get a chance to call in, you can send your questions to lookup at cceagle.org. And may the Lord richly bless you as you continue to look up to Jesus.
Look full in his wonderful face. I want to grow dim standing next to you.